Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. As over 200 bishops, as well as other participants from across Africa, are making their way to Rome for a three-week meeting focusing on this continent, I thought I'd find out more about this event, referred to here in the Vatican as Synod for Africa. So I went up the hill from the Vatican to the Mother House of the Society for African Missions to speak to one of the Synod Fathers, who also happens to be Superior General of his order. His name is Kieran O'Reilly. Let's listen to what he told me. You're a Synod Father, beyond being a Superior General of your order, at this Synod for Africa, which focuses on reconciliation, justice and peace. 15 years from the previous such meeting, which also focused on Africa. Why was this theme chosen, in your opinion?
Well, I suppose if you look at the Instrumentum Laboris, which does kind of...
The Instrumentum Laboris being a working document.
Yes, this is the working document that's produced now by the preparatory committee, if you like, for the Synod. And it becomes the starting point for further discussions in the diocese, among the bishops' conferences, etc. If you look at that document, it tries to assess what has happened in the last 15 years. And I suppose for any of us to see that there has been enormous changes, rapid changes, and Africa has not been left out in these. Unfortunately, many of the issues that we had hoped might not continue to arise in Africa have continued to arise. Wars, civil unrest, interference from outside, economic forces still not, I believe, working to the best interests of Africa or Africans, but rather working for their own interests. And I believe that the Church, very mature in its own leadership now, and with many priests and religious, catechists and laity, sees now an important moment, if you like, to reassess again how the Church, with the Gospel, is going to respond to Africa as it is now.
Reconciliation is difficult anywhere in the world. No, animosity really runs very deep. What paths has the Church been engaged in Africa to solve issues connected to this theme?
Well, I suppose when you deal with reconciliation, you have to invariably start off with the reconciliation at the personal level, at the level of ourselves understanding how even in ordinary daily living, either within the family or within the workplace, that there are times when there has to be reconciliation if life is just going to be able to be lived normally. And I think that's a very important thing that the Church tries to continually stress, is the need for that reconciliation with our brother. Every celebration we have of the sacraments and everything that surrounds our life of ministry is about reconciling so that we may celebrate more fully. There is another dimension then, of course, that our communities need to be reconciled within. And it also speaks, this document, the Instrumentum Laboris, or the working document for the Synod, about the need for within church, our own church, for reconciliation to exist. Because the reality is that we know that in certain countries, ethnic groups of one group or another within the Catholic Church may have tremendous animosity historically or for some reasons against other groups. So there has to be continual efforts. We are human beings, we are earthen vessels, as St. Paul says, that need continually to strive to go beyond ourselves and not to allow ourselves to be, if you like, enslaved or chained by our refusal to reconcile with our brother. It goes beyond that then, of course, because we're all living in societies, multi-ethnic societies, multicultural societies, where our church has a significant role to play, especially in situations of conflict, in situations where there is no, if you like, attempt at official reconciliation, that sometimes political leaders will use divisions in order to either strengthen their own political power or diminish the power of somebody else. So reconciliation is an enormous task, not only for Africa, obviously, but for all of us everywhere. But I think because of the highlighting of so many conflicts and lack of security situations and civil strife in many countries of Africa, it is a particularly pressing thing at this time.
Getting on to justice, how does the Church foster justice in Africa? Has it played a role in mediation across this continent, both at a political level, perhaps among parties in conflict, or again defending and sustaining the cause of the most vulnerable in society?
Well, from my own experience, I think that aside from the Gospels themselves and the carrying of the word with us, one of the best measures are means that we have is the social teaching of the Church. And the recent compendium that has come out is an invaluable help that the church gives to local hierarchies, to local Christian communities, to basic Christian communities, to see what we stand for, and to be able to understand the reflection and the development of thought over many, if you like, generations that has brought us to our support for the dignity of the human person, the importance of justice issues in all countries, that there is everybody within society is treated specially and significantly as a child of God. And I would say myself that from the conflicts that I'm aware of, the church has played no small part in being a force to resolve them. And over and over, it is very often church people who have suffered the most because they have had the courage to speak out prophetically. They've had the courage to stand up against oppressive rulers. There are courageous bishops who will take up challenges, who don't fear because they know they carry a message that is true, and it's a message that is perhaps, you know, we may say with pride, but supported by our church in a very wide way. And I think that's very important.
For example, in the area of economic justice, globalization, or the environment.
Yeah, to me they are central, because one of the things that is very striking still in Africa is the enormous amount of poverty. And where there is poverty, there is misery, there is lack of education, there's collapse of culture. There's no chance for children to have a future. And one of the things that we as religious institutes have done, we have come together, in fact, 25 years ago here in Europe and in the United States, and we established what we call the Africa-Europe Faith and Justice Network here in Brussels, completely supported by religious institutes who work in Africa, and in Washington, the Africa Faith and Justice Network, with the specific purpose to lobby in the Parliament in Strasbourg and Brussels and in Washington concerning issues of economic interest for Africa. Because we have known and we have seen from our own people on the ground that decisions are made in these places that have detrimental effect on the economic life of farmers, maybe pastoralists, people who are involved in the cotton trade. So many of the different economic forces that actually influence economic life on the ground, decisions are made far away from Africa. It's a slow work. It's a work that does not deliver immediate results. But it means that you're present in Brussels, you're presenting the situation, you're fighting against issues that are economically important for the people in the rural areas we work.
Of course, these issues are connected to peace as well. You mentioned the conflicts before. Why is it that it's so difficult to achieve peace in Africa? Why are there so many conflicts? Political instability too deeply rooted in history beyond these socio-economic reasons, no?
Peace, I suppose, well, it's difficult. We know in other parts of the world as well, it is a process that you need to build a culture of peace, or you need actually to have peacemakers, people who devote themselves to seeking out ways and means to get people to be at peace with each other. And that involves, again, one word, education. It involves formation of people to be able to do that work. You ask in Africa, why? Well, Africa is blessed with enormous riches, resources that are probably second to none anywhere else in the world. Under the ground still are enormous wealth for the future. And where there is that kind of wealth, you'll have people who want to misuse it and use it for their own advantage, either politicians, local leaders, or outside forces, international companies, other states that believe it's important for their well-being, with little or no consequence for the Africans from where it is taken or from the countries from which it is taken. So to build peace, well, for us as Christians, it is, after all, the first gift of the risen Lord, we believe in John's Gospel, peace I give you. So we have to be agents of that peace, but it's a peace that must be based on justice. It cannot be a false kind of peace that it's nice and calm, because if it's that, then the problem will only root itself and come up somewhere else again. So that's why the journey for justice is an integral part, I believe, of being a peacemaker.
And my thanks there go to Synod Father and Superior General of the Society of African Missions, Father Kieran O'Reilly, for sharing with us this information on the second assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa. And if you wish to hear the full version of this interview, go to www.vaticanradio.org and simply click on the Synod for Africa icon. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.